Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The violence in Baltimore reverberated through presidential politics this week. Candidates had to square their past stances on law enforcement with current protests. That and a former Chris Christie confidant pleads guilty in the Bridgegate scandal. Hillary Clinton now has a challenger in the Democratic primary. And Carly Fiorina gets ready to become the second woman in the race. So there is a lot of 2016 news to check in on. Let's jump in with Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi there, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
Great to have you. And Wesley Lowery, national reporter for The Washington Post. Hi there, Wesley.
How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Great to have you as well, Wesley. And let's just start with you. You cover law enforcement and communities for The Post. First of all, let's get your thoughts on the fact that Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby has decided to charge six Baltimore officers in the case of Freddie Gray.
Well, it's certainly noteworthy. I mean, to start with, what we know is that very rarely are officers charged anywhere in the country when someone is killed on duty, whether that's in custody or during a shooting. And so the idea that six officers would be charged really is noteworthy. And so that's something that is certainly reverberating throughout the country right now. It's certainly a moment here in this ongoing conversation we're having on policing in the United States. But pivoting it forward, we still have to wait and see what happens. Charges are one thing. Actual convictions are very different. And there's a long time between now and when these officers might actually face these charges.
Right. Rick, I mean, imagine everybody who has to deal with politics and policy is doing exactly what Wesley's saying, kind of watching and waiting at the moment.
It has upended the political system. It forced Hillary Clinton to make an earlier statement on policy than she had, her campaign had anticipated. This was supposed to be a quiet rollout. Instead, she's out there with a major speech. It's had some Republicans a little bit tentative. I think Rand Paul with a statement that was a little off key, where he joked with an interviewer he was just glad his train didn't stop in Baltimore the other day. And then I think it really puts Governor Martin O'Malley, the former governor and mayor of Baltimore, former governor of Maryland, in the spotlight. His policing policies, a lot of folks feel like, led to some of the concerns that we're now seeing. And that's been a critical piece of his resume. So we've seen him in the mix in Baltimore on the streets. So I think the politics are always secondary in these situations. But clearly we're in a moment. And this may be one of those big defining issues that charts out different territory for the candidates and also just resonates with voters around the country.
Right. I mean, Rick, you covered a lot of ground there. We actually have some tape from things that you mentioned. Here's Rand Paul on the Laura Ingraham Show on Tuesday night.
It's sad. It's scary. I came through the train on Baltimore last night. I'm glad the train didn't stop. But the thing is that really, there are so many things we can talk about, mm-hmm. but I think it's something we talk about not in the immediate aftermath, but over time. You know, the breakdown of the family structure, the lack of fathers, the lack of sort of a moral code in our society.
Well, that was Rand Paul on the Laura Ingraham Show on Tuesday night. But the fact that politics and policy are flowing through this moment was even obvious today, as Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby was announcing that she's pressing charges against those six officers, because she talked about what this moment signifies, too. So let's listen.
Let's ensure that we have peaceful and productive rallies that will develop structural and systemic changes for generations to come. You're at the forefront of this cause. And as young people, our time is now.
Wesley, I mean, those are sort of two poles in terms of the policy and the structural issues at play here, not just in Baltimore, but across the country. How do you think that that's going to resonate as we push forward in this presidential cycle?
Of course. I think this is something that is going to have to be discussed in the presidential cycle. As Rick noted, it was so noteworthy that Hillary Clinton, in her first address as a candidate, her first real speech, focused very heavily on these issues. But it is in some ways a minefield for candidates on both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats. For the Democrats, you've got Hillary Clinton, who's going to have to essentially repudiate many of the criminal justice stances of her husband, President Bill Clinton. You have Martin O'Malley, who many people on the ground in Baltimore personally blame for the distrust because of the aggressive policing policies underneath him. And on the right, while you see a lot of push for criminal justice reform right now, this is a slate of candidates who run as Reagan Republicans. And when we're being honest about what a lot of the criminal justice reform calls for, it calls for the undoing of many of the Reagan drug war policies. And so there is a little – it is a little politically fraught for everyone.
Well, you mentioned Hillary Clinton, and we've talked about her a little bit, but we do have some tape from that policy speech she gave on criminal justice reform.
Let's take on the broader inequities in our society. We can't separate the unrest we see on our streets from the cycles of poverty and despair that hollow out those neighborhoods. Despite all the progress we've made in our country, lifting people up, and it has been extraordinary, too many of our fellow citizens are still left out.
Rick, both you and Wesley have mentioned the fact that Hillary Clinton didn't talk about the fact that many of the policies of mass incarceration were enacted under her husband, Bill Clinton. Is that going to come back to haunt her?
I wouldn't expect her to mention it, but I can't expect her to be able to avoid it either. And if for no other reason that she's going to face a Democratic primary challenger, as we learned this week, it's going to come up. It's a different time. And I think you'll hear some variation of that response, whether you're Martin O'Malley or Hillary Clinton talking about the 1990s and the 2000s. It was a different time. And we saw as a society a reaction in a different direction. But it is an irony, perhaps, and something that other candidates are very quick to point out, that you can trace the policing tactics that took hold in some of the big cities of the 1990s to the concerns now about mass incarceration, about sentencing reform and sentencing injustices. So I'm curious on a whole host of issues how Hillary Clinton comes to account. Do we have a kind of big moment where she breaks from the 1990s Clinton era and defines Clintonism for a new century, for a new decade, for a new campaign? That will be a big question that overhangs the campaign. In the meantime, there will be smaller places around the margins where she is distancing herself from her husband's administration, but not doing it in an explicit way. I don't think at any point she'll say, it's too bad President Clinton didn't do this. I think we'll hear more about the evolving nature of American democracy.
Okay, well, let's talk about one of the people who might sort of be a nudging force, for lack of a better term. That's Bernie Sanders from Vermont, who has been talking about income inequality, social inequality for many, many years. He's announced that he's going to enter the Democratic presidential race. So let's listen.
The question is, if you raise the issues that are on the hearts and minds of the American people, if you try to put together a movement which says we have got to stand together as a people and say that this capital, this beautiful capital, our country belonged to all of us and not the billionaire class, that's not raising an issue. That is winning elections. That's where the American people are.
Now, Rick, this is a message that obviously has an incredible amount of resonance amongst certain Democrats. Is Sanders going to now force Hillary Clinton to talk even more about income inequality, about Wall Street, about these economic issues at the heart of the progressive wing of the party?
Yes. And you hear in his voice that passion, that personal commitment that has colored his entire political career. There's something compelling about that. And not just among progressives, although clearly I think his ceiling is limited by his politics and he will appeal to liberals. He will not almost certainly win the Democratic nomination or become president. But he will force the conversation. He will push on economic issues, on social issues, on issues of criminal justice reform included. He will push the conversation to the left. Hillary Clinton will have to navigate that. No doubt. Doesn't mean that it's a threat for the nomination, but the election is about more than who wins. And this debate that we're going to see play out on all of these issues will be colored by the very forceful rhetoric of Bernie Sanders.
Wesley, your thoughts on this?
Definitely. I think that certainly the reason Bernie Sanders or a candidate like Bernie Sanders gets into this race is in part to try to force these issues and push Hillary Clinton to the left and make her address on public debate stages and in her own campaign and policy rhetoric, address these issues that are so important to him, income inequality, dealing with corporations and dealing with Wall Street. But as Rick says, someone like Bernie Sanders deals with quite a ceiling in terms of his actual ability to influence the race.
Well, let's talk about someone who's going to enter the race next week on the Republican side. That is former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina. She does have some baggage. She was let go from HP. She has an ex-husband who called her the ultimate clown in the Republican Party clown car. Rick, your thoughts on what she adds to the Republican field?
She's a woman, for starters, and she'll likely be the only woman on those Republican debate stages. And to hear her tell it, it's important for the Republican Party to put forward a woman. As she likes to say, it takes a quiver out of Hillary Clinton's arrow. You can't play the sexism card if she's there. No doubt she'll have a lot to overcome. It's not ideal to have an ex or an ex-corporate board out there talking smack about you over the course of a campaign. But I think she'll be taken seriously because of her business record, because of the different set of skills that she brings, not having held a public office, having been in the corporate world in the past. And again, offering that contrast with Hillary Clinton, she has been about as aggressive as any Republican so far in saying this is what Hillary Clinton does wrong and squaring up against her very personally.
And Wesley, your thoughts on a Carly Fiorina run?
Yeah, no, I thought Rick made a really great point there, this idea that her experience contrasts very sharply so many of the other candidates. And so it's going to be really interesting. I think she's going to be taken seriously. Now, exactly what is her ceiling? She might also have a Bernie Sanders problem, but right. I do think she's going to be taken seriously.
Wesley Lowery is a national reporter for The Washington Post. Wesley, great to talk to you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Always great to talk to you, Rick.
I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.